The Dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena, Part 8. How this soul, wondering at the mercy of God, relates many gifts and graces given to the human race. Then this soul, as it were like one intoxicated, could not contain herself, but standing before the face of God exclaimed, "How great is the eternal mercy with which you cover the sins of your creatures! I do not wonder that you say of those who abandon mortal sin and return to you, 'I do not remember that you have ever offended me.' Oh, ineffable mercy! I do not wonder that you say this to those who are converted, when you say of those who persecute you, 'I wish you to pray for such, in order that I may do them mercy.' Oh, mercy! Who proceeds from your eternal Father, the divinity who governs with your power the whole world. By you were we created, in you were we recreated in the blood of your Son. Your mercy preserves us. Your mercy caused your Son to do battle for us, hanging by his arms on the wood of the cross, life and death battling together. Then life confounded the death of our sin, and the death of our sin destroyed the bodily life of the Immaculate Lamb. Which was finally conquered? Death! By which means? Mercy! Your mercy gives light and life, by which your clemency is known in all your creatures, both the just and the unjust. In the height of heaven your mercy shines, that is, in your saints. If I turn to the earth, it abounds with your mercy. In the darkness of hell, your mercy shines, for the damned do not receive the pains they deserve. With your mercy, you temper justice. By mercy, you have washed us in the blood, and by mercy, you wish to converse with your creatures. Oh, loving madman, was it not enough for you to become incarnate, that you must also die? Was not death enough that you must also descend into limbo, taking thence the holy fathers to fulfill your mercy and your truth in them? Because your goodness promises a reward to them who serve you in truth, you descended to limbo to withdraw from their pain your servants and give them the fruit of their labors. Your mercy constrains you to give even more to man, namely, to leave yourself to him in food, that we, weak ones, should have comfort, and the ignorant commemorating you should not lose the memory of your benefits. Wherefore, every day you give yourself to man, representing yourself in the sacrament of the altar, in the body of your holy church. What has done this? Your mercy. Oh, divine mercy, my heart suffocates in thinking of you, for on every side to which I turn my thought, I find nothing but mercy. Oh, eternal Father, forgive my ignorance that I presume thus to chatter to you, but the love of your mercy will be my excuse before the face of your loving kindness. Of the baseness of those who pass by the river under the bridge, and how the soul that passes underneath is called by God the tree of death, whose roots are held in four vices. After this soul had refreshed a little her heart in the mercy of God by these words, she humbly waited for the fulfillment of the promise made to her, and God, continuing his discourse, said, "Dearest daughter, you have spoken before me of my mercy, because I gave it you to taste and to see in the word which I spoke to you when I said, 'These are those for whom I pray you to intercede with me.' But know that my mercy is without any comparison, far more than you can see, because your sight is imperfect, and my mercy perfect and infinite, so that there can be no comparison between the two, except what may be between a finite and an infinite thing. But I have wished that you should taste this mercy, and also the dignity of man, which I have shown you above, so that you might know better the cruelty of those wicked men who travel below the bridge. Open the eye of your intellect, and wonder at those who voluntarily drown themselves, and at the baseness to which they are fallen by their fault, from which cause they have first become weak. And this was when they conceived mortal sin in their minds, for they then bring it forth, and lose the life of grace. And as a corpse which can have no feeling or movement of itself, but only when it is moved and lifted by others, so those who are drowned in the stream of disordinate love of the world are dead to grace. Wherefore, because they are dead, their memory takes no heed of my mercy. The eye of their intellect sees not and knows not my truth, because their feeling is dead. That is, their intellect has no object before it but themselves, with the dead love of their own sensuality. And so their will is dead to my will, because it loves nothing but dead things. These three powers, then, being dead, all the soul's operations both in deed and thought are dead as far as grace is concerned. For the soul cannot defend herself against her enemies, nor help herself through her own power, but only so far as she is helped by me. It is true, indeed, that every time that this corpse, in whom only free will has remained, which remains as long as the mortal body lives, asks my help, he can have it, but never can he help himself. He has become insupportable to himself, and, wishing to govern the world, is governed by that which is not, that is, by sin. For sin in itself is nothing, and such men have become the servants and slaves of sin. I have made them trees of love with the life of grace which they received in holy baptism, and they have become trees of death, because they are dead, as I have already said to you. Do you know how this tree finds such roots? In the height of pride, which is nourished by their own sensitive self-love. Its branch is their own impatience, and its offshoot, indiscretion. These are the four principal vices which destroy the soul of him who is a tree of death, because he has not drawn life from grace. Inside the tree is nourished the worm of conscience, which, while man lives in mortal sin, is blinded by self-love, and therefore felt but little. The fruits of this tree are mortal, for they have drawn their nourishment, which should have been humility, from the roots of pride, and the miserable soul is full of ingratitude, whence proceeds every evil. But if she were grateful for the benefits she has received, she would know me, and knowing me would know herself, and so would remain in my love. But she, as if blind, goes groping down the river, and she does not see that the water does not support her. How the fruits of this tree are as diverse as are the sins, and first, of the sin of sensuality. The fruits of this death-giving tree are as diverse as sins are diverse. See that some of these fruits are the food of beasts who live impurely, using their body and their mind like a swine who wallows in mud, for in the same way they wallow in the mire of sensuality. Oh, ugly soul, where have you left your dignity? You were made sister to the angels, and now you are become a brute beast. To such misery come sinners, notwithstanding that they are sustained by me, who am supreme purity, notwithstanding that the very devils, whose friends and servants they have become, cannot endure the sight of such filthy actions. Neither does any sin, abominable as it may be, take away the light of the intellect from man as so much as does this one. This the philosophers knew, not by the light of grace, because they had it not, but because nature gave them the light to know that this sin obscured the intellect. And for that reason they preserved themselves in continence, the better to study. Thus also they flung away their riches in order that the thought of them should not occupy their heart. Not so does the ignorant and false Christian, who has lost grace by sin. How the fruit of others is avarice, and of the evils that proceed from it. A fruit of the earth belongs to some others, who are covetous misers, acting like the mole, who always feeds on earth till death, and when they arrive at death, they find no remedy. Such as these, with their meanness, despise my generosity, selling time to their neighbor. They are cruel usurers, and robbers of their neighbor, because in their memory they have not the remembrance of my mercy. For if they had it, they would not be cruel to themselves or to their neighbor. On the contrary, they would be compassionate and merciful to themselves, practicing the virtues on their neighbor and succoring him charitably. Oh, how many are the evils that come of this cursed sin of avarice! How many homicides and thefts, and how much pillage with unlawful gain, and cruelty of heart and injustice! It kills the soul and makes her the slave of riches, so that she cares not to observe my commandments. A miser loves no one, except for his own profit. Avarice proceeds from and feeds pride. The one follows from the other, because the miser always carries with him the thought of his own reputation. And thus avarice, which is immediately combined with pride, full of its own opinions, goes on from bad to worse. It is a fire which always germinates the smoke of vainglory and vanity of heart, and boasting in that which does not belong to it. It is a root which has many branches, and the principal one is that which makes a man care for his own reputation, from whence proceeds his desire to be greater than his neighbor. It also brings forth the deceitful heart that is neither pure nor liberal, but is double, making a man show one thing with his tongue while he has another in his heart, and making him conceal the truth and tell lies for his own profit. And it produces envy, which is a worm that is always gnawing, and does not let the miser have any happiness out of his own or others' good. How will these wicked ones, in so wretched a state, give of their substance to the poor, when they rob others? How will they draw their foul soul out of the mire, when they themselves put it there? Sometimes even do they become so brutish that they do not consider their children and relations, and cause them to fall with them into great misery. And nevertheless, in my mercy I sustain them. I do not command the earth to swallow them up, that they may repent of their sins. Would they then give their life for the salvation of souls when they will not give their substance? Would they give their affections when they are gnawed with envy? Oh, miserable vices that destroy the heaven of the soul! Heaven I call her, the soul, because so I made her, living in her at first by grace, and hiding myself within her, and making of her a mansion through affection of love. Now she has separated herself from me, like an adulteress, loving herself and creatures more than me, and has made a god of herself, persecuting me with many and diverse sins. And this she does because she does not consider the benefit of the blood that was shed with so great fire of love. How some others hold positions of authority and bring forth fruits of injustice. There are others who hold their heads high by their position of authority, and who bear the banner of injustice, using injustice against me, God, and against their neighbor, and against themselves, to themselves by not paying the debt of virtue, and toward me by not paying the debt of honor in glorifying and praising my name, which debt they are bound to pay. But they, like thieves, steal what is mine, and give it to the service of their own sensuality, so that they commit justice toward me and toward themselves, like blind and ignorant men who do not recognize me in themselves on account of self-love, like the Jews and the ministers of the law who, with envy and self-love, blinded themselves so that they did not recognize the truth, my only begotten Son, and rendered not his due to the eternal truth, who was amongst them, as said my truth, the kingdom of God is among you. But they knew it not, because in the aforesaid way they had lost the light of reason, and so they did not pay their debt of honor and glory to me, and to him who was one thing with me, and like blind ones committed injustice, persecuting him with much ignominy, even to the death of the cross. Thus are such as these unjust to themselves, to me, and to their neighbor, unjustly selling the flesh of their dependents, and of any person who falls into their hands.